Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today,
sports radio on the dial.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Happy holidays to all those celebrating.
Hanukkah.
And we're Ray and Tay, and I'm Ray, Carl Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is definitely a happy Hanukkah, happy holidays. Christmas is coming. You smell it in the air. Everybody's hyped and excited. So let's talk some sports. It's Tuesday. We're normally here for you Mondays, but we're here on Tuesday. And we are going to wrap up everything that went on in the weekend and what's going on during the week. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us, and check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Poll questions, great interviews with amazing guests, Seth Davis, Randall Cunningham, just had Wesley Walker on. Ray, you know, a lot of great guests over the years, Bob Brenly, Al Troutwig. So everybody, you know, sit back during the holidays and listen to some great interviews that you might not get on other shows when they only have people on for maybe two, three minutes. Ray and Tay, we got them talking about a lot of things, so check it out. Hey, Ray, I want to ask you, before we get to the NFL, I guess first we got to talk some stuff off the field, injuries, all that stuff, but we got to applaud a gentleman who won the 80th Heisman Trophy over the weekend, Marcus Mariota, with a great speech, such a humble Polynesian spirit, Hawaiian vibe, a gentleman, a class act, potentially a top three pick, and the first Oregon Duck to win the Heisman. And Gordon and Cooper were amazing as well. Like we discussed on Friday, I was surprised the other guys didn't make it, but we saw with the voting why. But Boykin was fourth, Trayvon Boykin from TCU. JT Barrett was fifth, who definitely was deserving and might have been there if he got to play. And then Jameis Winston was sixth. What did you feel about Mariota, the speech, and just the, you know, him representing the Ducks and Hawaii in the Pac-12?
Well, you know what? He did himself a lot of justice on Saturday with his speech and just the way he accepted the speech. And, you know, it's funny because in any other year, the other two could have won the Heisman Trophy, but Mariota's stats were just so ridiculous. And his team was number two, and he is just the ultimate college weapon. And I'd love to see him translate that to the pros. I don't think he will so easily. I think he needs a year or two to kind of learn a system and learn how to be a pro quarterback.
They're doing but a very college system in Oregon, yeah.
Oh, but in college, though, this guy is amazing. The ultimate weapon, and good for him. And they deserved it out there, all of our Ducks fans and George Reister and all of the crew out on the West Coast that listens to us. Thank you for listening. Everybody in the state of Oregon, you got yourself a Heisman Trophy winner. Remember, it reminds me of, what, 5 or 6 years ago when, maybe even more than that, when Joey Harrington was pushing for the Heisman, and Oregon took out these billboards in New York trying to push Harrington.
Right.
It looked
artificial. Yeah.
They were hyping him. But Mariota just blew everyone away. He deserved it more than anybody else. This was his year, you know, almost – but what would you say? About halfway through the season, it became pretty obvious that he was the front runner, and it was his blue
wrap. Remember, he's been great for the last couple of years. He just didn't have the health. And so this year, being able to stay healthy, I think, is what gave him the opportunity to excel, the offensive line getting healthy again, and him just being, you know, a super talent. I think, to be honest, and we've spoken about it, and you know, I give you a lot of credit because you sort of spoke about it last year. And I could see it happening. I don't think Sanchez or Foles is the guy in Philadelphia for Chip Kelly. I could see him trading the farm, you know, or whatever he's got to do to get his guy Mariota to be the quarterback of the Eagles. I would not be shocked, Ray. Draft day trade, pre-draft trade, I would not be surprised if you see Chip Kelly convince his organization and his owner that if I have this guy, he will be Jigga the Genius in my system.
You don't like Nick Foles?
I like Nick Foles, but Nick Foles is not, he's not pure in Kelly's system. And we saw, like you told me, and you tweeted me and texted me, and you were so right. Sanchez is a backup for a reason, and he's proving it, you know? And you know, let's save the NFL talk. A couple of things off the field. You haven't seen it. Keith Olbermann played it in its entirety. Everybody's, you know, last night, for example, the Phoenix Suns, they had the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. And, you know, it's kind of different out here in Arizona, very conservative. And some fans were very upset and this and that. But they did it as a unified team. And, you know, whatever. We've said our views on it. Thought that was fascinating. But in terms of football, Andrew Hawkins, for the two children that were killed in the park in Cleveland, you know, the police came out on him for, you know, wearing the T-shirt and stuff. And then he spoke at his locker for 5 minutes and I think 42 seconds. And I encourage everybody to go to YouTube and watch it. You know, they've played it on ESPN. Well, Keith Olbermann played it. I didn't see it on SportsCenter. But I have to say, as a citizen and as a human being of the United States of America, I have never felt so proud of just another human in the speech and the way that he explained himself as a young man, as a father, and as a human being, and in the justice system, how he felt about being truthful to his heart and soul and wearing, you know, a shirt about justice. You know, obviously two children, 12-year-olds were, you know, killed and for basically like no reason. But, you know, and so I think in this time, I think it's weird that people react in the sense that, oh, if you do this, this means you're not supporting police or you're disrespecting. It's like, no, that doesn't mean that. It's sort of like the people that were like, oh, I'm against war. Oh, so then you don't, you know, you don't, you're not like, oh, a patriot for America. No, that's not true. They're not mutually exclusive. So I just implore you, Ray, to see it. And I just want people to really, I thought Andrew Hawkins came across as, it's above sports and football. I was just so proud of him. So I just wanted to say that. And, you know, they had a rough time on Sunday. So he was the shining moment for the Cleveland Browns. And I want your insight because you need to tell me what's really going on with the NFL. We had Wesley Walker talk about it just being truthful with the health and concussions. But then that whole audio tape and Troy Vincent sort of fudging or lying on Mike and Mike, and then the Good Morning America releases the tape Monday morning. Ray, something smells fishy. It's not good.
You know, it does. And at the same time, the NFL is Teflon. So it feels like even when they do wrong, they can't do wrong. So I don't even know what to think anymore.
It's got to stop somehow. Bears fans didn't all come to the game last night, so I applaud them for not supporting a product that they don't believe in, you know?
Yeah, but is it just because their offense is terrible and and they have so much talent and they were hyped up to go to the playoffs?
That, but I'm just saying, you know, like, gosh, right, I don't know. It's got to get better. It does. And, you know, even Obama – you know, it said on the herd, on Colin Cowherd, that, you know, the owners have sort of this old boy network mentality. And, you know, I feel that they just throw the $44 million at Roger and then have him be their pit bull and do whatever and then let him take all the hits. But they're not going to fire him because they're happy with him. But I think legally they're, you know, they're going to federal court over this Adrian Peterson thing. And I don't think the NFL's got too much of a leg to stand on, especially with what the other judge said about Roger and you know, Ray Rice. And then next week the NFL is going to release, or the FBI Robert Mueller is going to release the investigation on the whole thing, whether or not they got the tape and who the line, you know, so it's about to go down. It'll be fascinating. We'll all see what happens. You're right there. I mean, they are Teflon, but it doesn't look good. It's not classy. It's, I think being rich and powerful does not give you a right to sort of disregard or circumvent the truth. I don't think that that is a carte blanche right in life. I just don't. You know, it shows itself up all the time, but I don't think it's a right. Anyway, let's get to sports. Let's have some fun. You tell me what you saw last night in 31-15 with the Saints, and then we'll work our way back to the playoff picture on Sunday. What was that?
It was a team that was lucky in New Orleans to be at 6-8, basically probably going to win their division and go, even though Atlanta controls their own destiny. It's 6-8 Saints team that typically doesn't play well on the road. It's funny, they're not playing great at home. They're not playing great, period. But
right, they're like
the
Cowboys with the home road.
They met a team that just
is not playing.
Up.
They're not even trying. At least the Jets try, right? I mean,
yeah. Rex gets his guys to play, so we'll give Rex credit for that. But yeah, the Bears, I was about to say, Trestman's not going to be there next year. And, you know, every time, and again, I hate to point the finger, so I won't, but I'm just, again, disappointed in Jay Cutler. Just when you thought he cleared the hump and he got his big receivers and he's got his Matt Forte and he's got his revamped offensive line.
Some of the best talent in the league on offense.
Yeah, I mean, from a GM perspective, they gave him the tools. It's not, you know, it's not a Cam Newton situation. But he just, what is he at, 19, 20 interceptions already this year? Ugh, and that offense, and Trestman's an offensive guy, and so, you know, have we not
but
learned
But don't you
lesson?
Want to say, is he really? Because you're not seeing it. Is he really? He's supposed to be the quarterback.
But
went through, really?
But that's what I'm thinking. I think there might need to be a situation where a CEO type, now granted, Barry Switzer is kind of a controversial guy, right? But maybe, and just maybe, you need to have a new model where the guy, the head coach, is like the old guru, and the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator basically run their show. Because this model of promoting an offensive guy, a la Jason Garrett, who's actually having a very good year this year, but for 7 or 8 years he's been very mediocre, Jason Garrett, Mark Trestman, Rex Ryan, Romeo Crennel, you know, Josh McDaniel, they dominate one side of the ball as a coordinator, and then it's like the Dilbert principle. They promote them to be a head coach, but they're not head coach material, but they're great on one side of the ball. So that may just be what happened to Mark Trestman. He's got so many distractions, having to run the defense, having to run the team, having to be the CEO of the team, that maybe if he was only the offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach or whatever, then he'd be great at his job. So maybe, you know, you need like a Marv Levy type, just an old wise cat who runs the enterprise and lets
the coach of the year, Bruce Arians type, who is the, you know, we cannot
but
give
to come by, but they're hard to come by. So what you do is you take a young guy and then you have the other side of the fence. You have the Mike Tomlins of the world, right? A young guy who's a defensive guy who came up through the defensive ranks, who did great. Bill Cowher, same thing, who did great as a defensive coordinator and you know, had success as a head coach.
But that's different in the sense that this, I'll say this, don't you feel that there's certain organizations, they just get it? Giants, Steelers, you know, even the Patriots, they don't get so wishy-washy. And if you have a losing season or two, they don't break everything up. Yes, the Steelers have gone through a couple of offensive coordinator, you know, and Ben's time, and even with Cowher. But, I mean, it's really Noel, Cowher, and then Tomlin. And that's the way I like it as a Steeler fan. And I'm not saying it just because I'm a Steeler fan, but I think the whole country knows you feel a trust there with that organization. Like, what's happening in San Francisco, and we got to talk about the NFC and the playoffs, but what's happening with San Francisco is a complete mess. And, someone I was talking to today made a great point that the turning point with the Niners and maybe Harbaugh losing that locker room is when Alex Smith, who had an undefeated or a 7-1 record, came back from injury and basically lost his job, never got his job back. I think deep down inside, players don't necessarily like that. Do you know what I mean? Not to say that they didn't like Kaepernick, but I'm just saying, like, because, you know, like, you're like, whether you're a linebacker, offensive lineman, you know, tight end, whatever position, you don't want to lose your job because of injury, especially if you've been playing great. You feel like That's injustice, in an NFL locker room. Guys don't like that. And I wonder if that was the beginning of the end, you know, separate from the fact that he's having issues with York and all these other people.
I hear what you're saying, but Cap brought them to the Super Bowl. And frankly, they could have won that Super Bowl. So to me, I have no problem with that. Like, that's a Wally Pipp situation where even though Alex Smith was having a good, what was his seventh or eighth year? Remember, he was the number one pick the year that Aaron Rodgers went 21, fell 21
And he had a bunch of coaches and coordinators.
They had a Wally Pipp situation. I got to think that even despite all of that going on, if you gave me if you lined them up to play flag football, tackle football, any kind of football, and you gave me the choice between Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, I'm taking Colin Kaepernick. So I hear what you're saying, but and also in San Francisco, when do you remember a situation where a successful head coach who's only been there 3-4 years, right? He took over for Mike Singletary not that long ago.
He turned everything around,
but his management doesn't like him. So it's like a Mark Jackson situation where
egos.
That's awful.
It's egos. And it's silliness because, honestly, let me tell you something. They better watch what they wish for because in no other sport is a head coach more important than in football. And this, you know, arrogance or this ego thing and not being able to work it out like little kids, if they fire this guy or trade him, they might regret it for the next 10, 15 years.
Right.
You never know. He's
Hold
a young
on.
Guy.
We got a caller who might chime in on this subject. Hold on. Yeah, caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
What's going on, talking about your team.
I heard you guys talking. I heard. I had to chime in.
Okay, break it down, man.
We're about to go into purgatory for a little while because of, to me, this. You know, it makes no sense. I think that, you know, the image of football to me is changing so much where you got GMs seem like they're jealous of coaches or if people wanting accolades. And it used to be just do it for the team. The winning shows everything. Now people want to have recognition. And, you know, sad to say, who are you going to get with a better winning percentage than him? Change the team around like he did coming in there. Let him do what he wants to do. I mean, with the progression of Colin Kaepernick, I take that because you know what he's done. So he's been so positive, and you know, you have to have a setback to get better.
I have a simple question. Maybe you know the answer to this. Oh, what's the beef? Because granted this year, I get it. They're underachieving because I keep saying they're one of the best teams. But the beef started 2 years ago when they were winning. They still didn't like Harbaugh. What's the beef?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I really believe the GM doesn't like him. And it's more so, it reminds me somewhat on a different sport of basketball, Mark Jackson. When you have somebody who's winning, getting you to playoffs, in his case, 3 NFC championships and a Super Bowl, and that's not good enough. And then what is good enough then? Mediocrity, where we're at, all them years before he came in there? I mean, you know, it begs to see that, you know, the owner, this is when the owner needs to be an owner and step up and say, you know what, don't rock the boat. Because when he leaves, then what's going to happen? I do think one thing on the knock on, and I don't know if this has anything to do with him, but one thing with Harbaugh and even the Redskins did, they moved away from what makes Kaepernick the most effective and deadly, which is a pistol.
A pistol, that's right.
You know, and it's like he's not a pocket passer. He's a coach to try to make quarterbacks who aren't pocket passers into pocket passers. And it's stunting their progress. Because they
let them develop at the same time. Do both.
And the only person I see is allowed to do what he wants to do is Russell Wilson. That's why he's so effective.
Totally. That's a great point.
You know?
That's so true, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's because Pete Carroll has that, I guess Harbaugh does too, though, but Pete Carroll has that college and pro experience. So maybe he knows how to work with young guys, and he knows how to be flexible, and he knows that, you know, basically you've got to coach some talent around you. But, yeah, give him credit. He's let Russell Wilson, and he identified it from scratch. Remember, they brought in Matt Flynn, and they paid him $8 million a year or whatever. Yeah. They gave him that big signing bonus. And from practice,
competition,
from
let
the,
him compete in
from
preseason.
From the third
yeah.
day of practice, he said, the other guy's better. I'm sorry. He
yeah.
told his GM, he said, I'm playing the better guy.
Yeah, and look where it got him. I mean, nobody's disputing his decision now. But
so,
you know,
let me
yeah.
ask you this real quick. Oh, do you guys finish with pride, or is this whole thing broken? Can you go 9-7, beat the Chargers on Saturday, and then beat Arizona at home? Do you win? Like, do you go out like, you know, with a little bit of something, or is it just everybody shot? Frank Gore has the concussion; he might be out. Is it just done? Are they not going to play?
I think, honestly, we have not gone back to what our football core is, and we're not going to win until we get back to that. And that, I don't understand, you know, well, we based on our defense. Our defense is still not where it should be with all the missing pieces.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, I don't, you know, it seems to me that they need to shore up the O-line a little bit, where it doesn't seem
yeah.
like Frank Gore is really getting the lanes he wants to, like he did last year. That's another
and
thing.
And
Kaepernick's
getting sacked like crazy. The O-line's actually been pretty bad this year, if you want to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so he's getting caught for somebody who can run. And a lot of it also is like, you know, you can see instilled in him where you look at last year where he was instinctive. He just took off. Where now he's thinking about it, and he's pausing. And that's coming through practices where they're trying to force him to be a pocket passer, saying, don't do that, don't do that. Because he is not instinct anymore. Problem is lying, and it's like, this is where, you know, I don't know if it's from a Harbaugh or what, because at the end of the day, I always believe, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And he wasn't broken, but now you can see on his demeanor.
Oh, he's a broken man. Yeah, it's horrible.
He's broken, yeah. And
broken.
And that's the thing. He's leading the squad, and you can't lead the squad when you can't really – he doesn't have faith in himself right now. I don't see plays for Vernon Davis. He doesn't even seem like he's checking through his progression when the ball snaps. I just think
yeah.
at this point, you know, it is what it is. They're not going to – even if we won out, we're not going to make it in there.
Who would
point,
you want as your coach, though? That's my question. Do you promote Greg Roman, the OC? You go from within, or do you try to find somebody outside of the family, per se? Like, who's the next coach for the Niners?
That's a good question. You know, I talked to somebody about that, and they made a good – they told me something that I thought that would be great if it did happen, where he was saying maybe talk to Gruden, see if he's willing to come out of retirement.
Oh, he
coach.
Just signed an extension last night with ESPN to 2021. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's done.
Yeah. Monday Night Football, he's there, he's locked.
But
he's
I tell you
smart.
What, though, you have a good – you have a situation where – you need to strike while the iron's hot because all of your talent is in their prime. And so you could argue running back such as Frank Gore is probably a little past his prime. But other than that, this is a great – if you can get everybody's heads right in San Francisco and assuming Willis and Bowman and
you get a free agent offensive lineman, and then you're back in business with everybody helping.
This is a great
right.
team to coach. I mean, you're in a tough neighborhood with St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle, but this is a great, great job. There are very few times where you get to inherit such a good team. I mean, think about it. Most of the teams that turn over, they're going to be like Jacksonville and the Jets and you know other teams. But this is a fantastic coaching job.
I'll give you a name that might be interesting. And I don't know if he wants to get back into coaching. He works for NFL Network. Brian Billick. The coach of the Ravens got a ring.
He's another arrogant guy, though. I mean, if the problem was, you know, arrogance and getting along with the GMs, I don't know if
that,
Brian
yeah,
Billick
that,
would be
I don't
involved.
Think it would be a good fit, yeah. Because he's, I agree. He probably has more arrogance than him than Harbaugh. And
but
I
it's
don't
different.
Think,
it's a different – he doesn't – I don't think he rubs – you got to admit, Jim Harbaugh is a weird dude. Like, he rubs people the wrong way. He's very ornery. He's just, you know, he's – almost disrespectful. It's, you know, he's got like a Belichick edge, but it's not, it's a little bit not as, it doesn't seem as genuine.
Maybe David Shaw at Stanford, our guy.
Well, I said that a couple of weeks ago. David Shaw, yeah, following him. If he's
yeah.
interested, come. So,
and the thing
I don't
is,
know,
when
man.
You think about the running backs, they're two premier running backs that are available right now.
Oh, Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice?
Yep.
Wow.
Nobody
imagine?
Has them. So, you know, that's always an option. I wouldn't see why one of them would not want to come there. And,
that,
you know.
That would be, you know, oh, I haven't even thought about that. Man, if you put, not so much Ray Rice, but I still think AP's got a lot in the tank. If you put AP there, let Carlos Hyde, you know, get 8 carries from him and, you know, whatever, even 3 backs, let Gore still do what he does a little. But if you put AP in the Niners, yikes. Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, oh, before we let you go, we're going to finish talking NFL. I got to ask you, what's going on in D.C.? Because there's a young gentleman. You're in second place, but at 17-6, and I think they're playing right now and winning, there is somebody that is having not just an all-star season, he's maybe top 3-4 point guards right now. John Wall is getting busy. What's the feel down there in the D.C. area for John Wall and this Wizard team with the veteran Pierce and the roster?
Hey, everybody is really loving the Wizards right now, and I think they're going to end up 4 seeds at this point the way they're going because they look very good. John Wall's playing out of his mind right now, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top 2 for point guards for the season the way he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
If he develops a little bit better of a deeper shot, he's even more effective. But right now, he knows how to change gears, and I was saying that for him last year. He was going at 1 speed last year, just all out. And now he knows how to change gears and change his speed, and that's what's making him so difficult to guard. Plus, he's playing more defense now, too.
Oh,
he's
very long. He's like a prototype at point guard. You know, the way he's sort of, built and the length and the savvy, he can get boards. He gets the passing.
I always thought he'd be better than Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose surprised me just how outstanding an athlete he is. But John Wall is a better basketball player in the sense that he does more things. He's just not as outstanding as Derrick Rose is on the offensive side of the basketball, especially. But in terms of running your team and being a leader, John Wall's got all the skills and on defense.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And look at I give the GM kudos what he did. I mean, you look at the second unit,
yeah.
And that's where you look at the strength of the Wizards, where you got Humphreys now. He's balling, getting rebounds and stuff like that. Unselfish player.
Otto Porter.
Yeah, you have a really deep team, and that's what you need. And with that veteran leadership of Paul Pierce, every time they get in a point where they don't know what to do, he takes control and gets those shots. So he doesn't need to do everything he did before because he'll let the young boys run. But when they need that veteran leadership, he's right there to step in and get the big shot.
Good point, O. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Y'all take
Talk
it easy.
Talk to you soon. Yeah, man.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Peace. So, Ray, let's look at this NFC, and I guess my question to you is this. We got Murray hurt. We'll talk about, you know, Manning banged up, but I think it'd be a mistake for Murray to play this Sunday against the Colts at home with, obviously, the surgery and the cast. You know, I don't know if he'll be able to block. You know, it's weird because it's the middle finger. You know, it's the left hand, but it's still the middle finger. Now, if they lose to the Colts and then maybe they beat the Redskins, they still are in a situation where the Eagles are playing the Redskins this Saturday and then finish up, it might be at home against the Giants.
It's tough. DeMarco Murray shouldn't play. I mean, it's ridiculous. You break your hand, you have surgery, and then 5 days later you play. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. But Dallas.
And could wind up being a liability, you know, to be honest.
Right, but Dallas is so desperate to make the playoffs. And we talked about this a little bit. 11-5, you might be out of the playoffs.
One team will probably miss the playoffs at 11-5. Whether it's the Saints or Falcons, somebody is going to have that record, they'll win. But then you've got 6 teams for 5 spots. Niners are eliminated. So it's either going to be Green Bay, Detroit loser, or the Eagles-Cowboy loser that gets bumped out. And they could
Seattle,
easily,
but you got to think Seattle is you know, playing
better than
everybody.
I think Seattle's going to be 12-4, yeah. I think, well, this is interesting. Let me ask you that. Now, we can say congrats to Arizona, and we'll talk about the AFC teams that have already clinched in a minute. But if Bruce Arians ever got Ryan Lindley this Sunday, and everybody's talking about it here in Arizona, to win this game. This is actually the biggest home game for the Arizona Cardinals, probably in their history of being in Arizona. Do you think they could actually pull this off, this upset, and beat the Seahawks with their third string signed off the street quarterback?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, yeah.
First of all, it would take – not only would it take a great game by your quarterback, but it would take your offense humming on all cylinders. Let's say the defense is not impacted at all, and let's say the defense can even match
right.
Seattle's defense, which I don't think it can. But to all your Arizona
team,
fans out there, I hate to
it's
break it down. But it is a good D. No, it's a great D, and nothing to be ashamed of. The only problem is that offense hasn't been humming for weeks, and Fitzgerald is banged up, and Floyd is up and down, and, you know, Ellington is probably their best player, and yet we haven't seen a healthy Andre Ellington in weeks. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So this team hasn't been playing well offensively, and in spite of all that, and this is why Bruce Arians should win Coach of the Year. In spite of all that, they're 11-3. So no,
sure.
I don't think they can beat Seattle. I think Seattle wants this too much. It basically allows them to clinch. They would probably clinch a playoff. I think if they win, then they both go to 11-4. And I don't know how.
Well, Arizona's in the playoffs already. They're 11-3. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, Arizona clinches for sure. But does Seattle clinch? No, I guess they can't clinch until the very last game of the season. Because if they lose, they could be they lose their last game. They'd be 11-5, and they'd have to wait for the tiebreakers with Green Bay, Detroit.
Right.
Dallas, and
remember,
really.
They lose the tiebreaker against Dallas because the Cowboys beat them, but they beat
right.
Green Bay head to head. So it's going to be interesting. Let me throw this at you. The Packers, did that loss to the Bills potentially have them in a spot where not only do they lose home field, but if the Lions muster up a miracle and go to Green Bay and win, because I think the Lions will win this week. I think they play Tampa, and then they go to Green Bay.
Bay plays Tampa.
Oh, okay.
And then they go at Tampa and then home to Detroit, and then Detroit plays – Chicago. Detroit goes at
right,
Chicago
right. So,
at Green Bay.
Yeah. Now, let's say Detroit wins. So that's 11-4. I guess Green Bay, they'll probably win. It's going to come down to week 17 at Green Bay, but that's a bad situation for the Packers to be in because the Lions are tough. That's a one team, Ray, that I think, and it's happened, they've I think the stat is something like they're 3-3 in games where they're trailing, where the rest of the league is like 11-120-something, where, you know, the Lions, they can come from behind with that offense. With Tate and, you know, Megatron, they can be explosive and score from behind. And, you know, Stafford, you know, I remember in London with the Atlanta game, they did that. So it'll be interesting. So obviously right
you
now.
You know what,
Arizona,
though? I got to say something about this Green Bay team. I think they're legit. And, you know, I had them going – all the way, basically.
And the Bills' defense is great.
The Bills' defense, that's what I was going to say. You know, that unit there, and Doug Marrone said it, right? And they said it even on the telecast, that Doug Marrone wanted to build a team defense first, special team second, offense third. And that's exactly how that team looks like. But that D, which underachieved ever since they brought, you know, Mario Williams over, but now suddenly Marius and these
Stephon
guys
Gilmore
are
stepped up.
Balling out, and then lost Bird, but they're balling out. This team is really legit. And I just think, you know what? Their defense imposed their will on Green Bay. And good that it happened 3 weeks before the playoffs, that it happening in the playoffs. But I think it's just a matter of you tip your hat to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers played one of his worst games as a pro. I mean, he's the NFL's all-time leader in interception, you know, completion to interception ratio,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was completing, like, what, he completed 35% of his passes, and he threw two interceptions.
No,
I mean, that's not Aaron Rodgers.
Two picks.
That's not Aaron Rodgers.
They got him.
So
they got him yeah.
Good.
Very good. Very impressive.
Tip your hat to the Bills. I think the Packers will bounce back. The Packers will win their next two, and they'll win that division.
Right. So obviously the NFC is sort of, you know, set. Only one team is clinched. We know it's between, you know, Packers, Lions, and Eagles, Cowboys. Real quick, before we go to the AFC, what'd you think about, you know, we were going back and forth with each other, but how impressed were you with that Cowboy win in Philadelphia? I thought they would win. I picked that one. We went against your team, went with the Eagles. But I thought the Cowboys showed, and I think, honestly, Dez showed, you need to pay that man some money. Dez earned his contract, and that team is really, I really want to say overachieving, because their defense coordinator, Rod Marinelli, has done a great job, and they've gotten better through the season, which is the mark of a good team. Belichick, you know, always does it. But the Cowboys have improved defensively. Skandrick and the boys have been doing some things, but I was very impressed with the way they took the punch of Philly, and then they went right back down the field, and Romo was just, he was good. He was very impressive.
Yeah, you know, I was frustrated because you give up a 21-point lead and you find yourself down 24-21 on the road, and we texted, and I was scared. I said, oh, this is the Cowboys of December, December Cowboys in the Tony Romo era.
Said no more.
They took care of business, and frankly, I'm glad it was against Mark Sanchez, because I don't know if Nick Foles would have made, you know, some of these mistakes. But the Cowboys did what they had to do, and they played a great fourth quarter, and they went ahead and won that game. Now, it might all be for naught if they lose against the Colts this week, and DeMarco Murray was poking finger. That is
a tough
matchup. But so far, I have to say, I'm impressed with the Cowboys. They're turning it around. And you know what? You know, people have talked about it, but it really comes down to Jerry Jones. Got to give him credit. The commitment to that offensive line and the commitment to running the ball with DeMarco Murray. Even though I think they're giving the ball too much, he might be carrying the ball too much, but the offensive line and running the ball. And he, you know, Romo is who he is, and Dez Bryant is a megastar. But ultimately, this team is turned around because of that offensive line.
Totally agree. And let's go to the AFC. You say congrats to the Patriots, Broncos, and Colts. They all clinch. Now, fourth place right now with a slim lead, don't control their own destiny, is the Cincinnati Bengals, in the sense that if the Steelers, you know, went out, they at home play the Chiefs and the Bengals, they would win the division. But pretty impressed with the top three teams. You know, Colts, they, you know, kind of a sloppy game with the Texans. They could have lost it. But you got to be super impressed with what the Bengals did to Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns. It's hard to rip Johnny so much because, you know, the rookie and yada, yada. And you feel, to be honest with you, I feel like the team folded. I don't think they played for the guy. And I hate to say that about a team, but it was – that offensive line was – they blitzed twice the whole game, Ray. And they got pressure on him like crazy. It was almost like, you know, we were in Central Park, you know, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, go. You know, it was embarrassing. And then we saw a star in young Jeremy Hill from LSU. What'd you think about that? I know you like him too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I picked him up. I mean, I drafted him, and he had a slow start, and so I let him go. And so I usually hold on to those rookies a little bit longer, but I didn't. That AFC North, man, that is just an unbelievable division. I think all three of those top three teams are going to go to the playoffs.
We're going to get three,
I believe. Yeah, Kansas City, San Diego are going to beat up on each other. Buffalo, I don't think they'd have to win two to go 10-6 and hope.
Yeah, they're not going to win in New England week 17, I don't think.
Right, right. Although, you never know. New England might be checked out. They might have home field, and they might get, you know, take those 2 weeks off and rest up all their players. So that might be the only chance Buffalo has. But that defense
travels. And you know
travels.
What helps? Pittsburgh, Denver, Monday night playing the Bengals. That helps the Steelers. Because I think the Bengals are going to lose.
The Bengals
on Monday
have the toughest
night.
Schedule, right? They have Denver and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I think my Steelers got a shot to win the division and get that four seed and host a playoff game, which would be just great.
How crazy is that? Pittsburgh would be the four seed hosting a playoff team, and then either Atlanta or New Orleans would be the four seed hosting a playoff game in the NFC, when, you know, a potential 11-5 team in the NFC won't make it.
It's a sad state, but you know, like you said, it doesn't happen every year, and it could happen from time to time. So you know, what are you gonna do? I want to ask you this though, because when it comes down to it, and we sort of question, could anybody crash the party of Denver, New England, and then maybe Green Bay, Seattle? Is it Detroit and Pittsburgh? Are they sort of the two teams that might be the ones that could crash the party, the way that they're structured and built with offense, versatility, running the ball, a little bit of D here and there? I kind of feel like it is. I wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yeah, you know, the
maybe Baltimore.
Cincinnati is such an enigma. I don't know what Cincinnati can do.
I don't trust
them.
I don't.
But then every 2-3 weeks they show you, wow, this team is could be elite. But, you know, Andy Dalton hasn't proven it in the playoffs. Hold on, we got another caller. Let's pass the caller in. See if the caller's got some NFL on the brain or any other sport.
On the brain.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
Hello, gentlemen. I do have the NFL on my brain.
Okay.
But I want to talk specifically, if you don't mind, we just studied the 49ers for 20 minutes. Can we talk a little more in depth about the Steelers? Would that be okay?
Oh, definitely.
Sure. We got Tay, the big Steeler fan.
I'm well aware. Now, I haven't said this out loud to anybody but my father yet, and certainly not to a fellow Steeler fan. But I'm interested in your opinion on, well, if you agree with my opinion, that Troy Polamalu basically finished, even when he's healthy.
That's fair.
I feel like they're better when he's off the field than when he's on the field. And I haven't
very
heard anybody
fair.
Utter a word about it, but gosh, when a guy like that is a step or two slower than they used to be, and they still kind of take the same risks and don't incorporate a little more discipline,
it's
kind of a shell of his former self, and it's a bummer. To me, it happened pretty quickly. But maybe I'm seeing things. I don't know.
No, you're totally right. And to be fair, you know what it is? As he got the last 2 or 3 years, being a little bit older but then having some injuries, he lost the speed quicker. And the risks – remember this. Ryan Clark was there to sort of, you know, they were in some simpatico. Like when he would take the risk, Ryan Clark, you know, had his back. And Mitchell from the Panthers comes over, and they've never really got in sync. And then you had Taylor hurt for a bit in the secondary and different injuries. But you're right, he's lost a step, and the risks don't work the same, especially when your linebackers have, you know, younger and injuries. And, you know, I don't want to say he needs to retire this year, but I think maybe he needs to come. Gosh, I mean, it's hard to say, right? That he needs to come off the bench or be in the nickel package. But yeah,
He's got nickel package written all over him, and it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, look.
What's a nickel safety though? Typically, you want some young.
What's that?
No, I was going to say, what's a nickel safety though? Typically, you want a young corner who doesn't really have much discipline but has a lot of speed. You know, so I don't know. If he doesn't start, I don't know how you get him, what the situation is that you put Polamalu in.
You might be right.
But you know what he can do? He can still run with a tight end. And I think he needs to stop being the risk taker. And Troy's got the size where the majority of the tight ends in the NFL, Troy could probably cover. He can't mess with the back, and he can't, you know, help on the, you know, the nine routes or the, you know, the posts across the field. That's where, you know, and he can't blitz and then go back. That's where he's a mess now.
Yeah, I mean, he's earned the right to have a season or season and a half where he doesn't play well before, you know, people like me, you know, jump on him and say he's finished. In the most cool, objective, observational way, because I love the guy, and maybe he is more hurt than we think, and he's got some gas left in the tank, but it just seems like him and, frankly, Ike Taylor, when they're off the field, their secondary seems to be better and or gives up less big plays. But I haven't seen stats to back that up. It's just a naked eye test.
Can I ask you a fair question, though? Who's better all time? They're both first ballot Hall of Famers. Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu?
Oh, this is a long-standing debate between Ray and Tay, so let's hear what you got to say.
I love Troy, but I hate to say this, but I would take Ed Reed.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I just think the premium of Ed Reed's ball skills just to me put him over the edge, you know, because
he was amazing. Yeah. He was like a coach on the field, and Troy's a smart guy and he gets a lot of credit for his instincts, but you know, Ed Reed's the one who's, you know, breaking down film in the film room and combining that with strong instincts. I like Ed Reed. But then again, you're talking to a guy who maintains Rod Woodson was a better cornerback than Deion Sanders, so I don't know.
Ooh, I love Ryan. Listen. I love Rod Woodson. I've seen many, you know, the old Purdue Boilermaker. Yeah, I love Rod too, so that's fair. So, but let me ask you this. You say that about the Steelers, but what do you feel about their chances not only to win the division, but maybe to make noise in the playoffs?
Well, the Steelers, you know, if you would have asked me this in week 5 or 6, or especially after the Tampa game, I would have told you, you know, they had no chance to do anything. The Steelers feel to me like a baseball team with, like, 3 great starters maybe and a crap 4 and 5 starter. Like, you don't really want to play them in the playoffs. Like, you don't know which team's going to show up. And offensively speaking, they're in the top 8, I think, in passing and running, so they could do either the run Bell 30 times or Roethlisberger can throw 40 times, and it's tough to prep for both. So I feel like they're scary. Anything could happen. So if they got blown out in a wild card game, I wouldn't be shocked. And if they went to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked. Although I don't know how anybody gets past New England. But
so if the season were to end now, Pittsburgh would, let's say, be in the 4-5 matchup with Baltimore, right? And then the winner of that would have to go to New England. So those
Cincinnati.
In many ways.
Five or Cincinnati, yeah.
Well, assume the season end now. Cincinnati would be 4. That's right. They'd be in 4-5. Right. Baltimore would be 6. So they'd either be They'd either be playing at Cincinnati or playing at what would that be?
We already spanked Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Colts and the Bengals and the other potential playoff teams, like the Chargers.
Pittsburgh,
they don't scare me at all.
Yeah, they don't scare me. The Colts
Denver and New England. I mean, geez.
Yeah, they're tough. They're tough. It's hard to imagine anybody going to Gillette Stadium up in Foxborough and beating a Patriot team with Belichick when he has the corners that he has in a running game. That is what he needed. He got it, and Revis has earned every single dollar that he's getting paid this year. The guy has shown Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson, Hayden. I am still the top dog and the best corner in the NFL, and I truly believe that.
Yeah, they're an incredibly impressive organization, and it speaks to what you guys were talking about earlier with having some longevity with the front office and whatnot, not freaking out maybe over a bad season or two. When I was watching football this weekend, I saw a stat that I couldn't believe, and now I only half remember it, of course, because I'm getting senile. But the Patriots, they've either won 70-plus games in a row when leading at the half at home or not at home, just either road and home. They've not blown a halftime lead, at least at home, for the last 70 games. And
the
Patriots. That's insane.
Wow. And you know what? What's interesting about that is they're not your traditional running team, because you would think if you're ahead and you can run the ball, that's how you seal the deal. And in fact, that's what we keep talking about, how we think there's going to be a resurgence of the running game, because it's hard to play from ahead when you're passing. And yet, the Patriots, for the most part, are a quasi West Coast offense, pass first, pass from ahead, spread the team, and yet they still win games from ahead. So,
but you notice December, Belichick likes to pound it. He's always been doing
that. Recently he has, and then with Gray and Blunt, and they're looking like they're right back where they need to be in the playoffs.
Hey, I'm happy with my Super Bowl picks, Seahawks, Patriots. I'm telling you, that's going down, baby.
I got two quick things for you, and then I'll jump. One is a quick comment. There's no way DeMarco Murray doesn't play or at least try to play this weekend. This is a franchise willing. This is a franchise willing to run him 30 times.
It's a mistake, though. You got to admit, it's going to be a mistake, because he will not be able to chop, you know, to block blitzers, and he might not be able to catch screen passes.
I think you at least trot him out there and try and see what you got. At the very least, maybe he's a decoy, but he's playing. I mean, if they'll let him run 30 times a game with a team with Romo and Dez Bryant, they will trot him out there. And I can't say that I blame them for trying. Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing I have is a quick question. This might seem random, but You guys, I heard you talking about your fantasy football team earlier. How are you guys doing? Are you guys
we're both eliminated, and in our Ray and Tay Yahoo League.
Oh, you have a league?
Yeah, we do have a league. There's a team that has got the most bizarre name that nobody could figure out. And even 1 week they were so asleep at the wheel that they didn't even play a defense and still won.
Travels a lot.
Right. But talk about luck, right? And they have mustered up. They actually beat Ray, the defending champ, to make the playoffs in the last week. And now they are in the championship game. Can you imagine that?
That sounds like that's an amazing story. I would say to you, and I don't know much about this team or your league, but if you really wanted to know about the team's name, you should check out a science fiction book by the title of Dune, D-U-N-E. It's also been turned into a major motion picture.
Yes,
and
you'll
see just how dorky of a team name it really is.
Okay, that's where it's – okay. I remember that, and now I know where it's from. That's
and
pretty awesome.
On that note, you guys got what? 10 minutes left. I'll lead you to it.
And happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, the whole nine. And
happy holidays.
I think you might get a ring.
Good luck.
Figures good luck. I'm sorry I opened my mouth now, but we'll see.
Have a good one.
Bye guys.
All right, great call.
Oh man. So let's hoop it up. We've talked football in the playoffs and everything, and right now, I don't know, you need to give me a score. What's going on with the Warriors and Grizzlies? You know, these are the type of games, I threw it out there on Twitter earlier, this could be a Western Conference Finals preview. 21-2 what the Warriors are doing, 16 in a row. Memphis, 19-4. These guys are battling.
Taking care of business right now in the second quarter, 6:20 to go in the second quarter. Memphis is up 44-34.
Right.
So they're up
and
10.
The thing that I wonder, though, is obviously props to Draymond Green for playing so great, but this team is not 100%. They still need David Lee, and I believe when David Lee gets back, they'll even be that much better, which is hard to say when they're already 21-2. But we spoke about it, and it's happening. Guess who's won 6 in a row with the second biggest streak in the NBA, and they're on their way to the 8th spot? Oklahoma City. And your boy Westbrook, 25 a game in the last 10 games, they are looking very impressive, and New Orleans and Phoenix are probably going to bow down to OKC. What do you feel about what the Thunder are doing at 11-13, winning 6 in a row?
I told you not to worry. It's funny because they got hurt at a weird time, right? If it was another month or two, I'd say sit it out, get yourself a lottery pick. But because they
– especially Durant. He came back early.
Yeah, because they came back, these guys will be fine. You add to a team, even if they're 0-10, 0-15, you add two of the top 7 or 8 best players in the league, and you're fine. They'll fight. They won't be a top 3 seed, 4 seed. That's okay. They can win on the road. They're a nightmare.
That Dallas team, and I told you in the beginning of the season, I mean, they're 17-8, but – with Monte Ellis being the leading scorer and, you know, Dirk, and then you've got the veteran in Tyson Chandler, who, oh, my goodness, the Knicks sure do miss him, right? Samuel Dellembert is no Tyson Chandler. But I think the Mavericks are pretty impressive. They're playing the Knicks tonight. They're on now, too.
Up, and hopefully Tyson Chandler doesn't do the Knicks what he did in Dallas, where he puts 25 rebounds on him.
But what about smacking the sneaker? How about that? He blocked the sneaker.
Oh, my God. You know what I forgot, I forgot? And, again, when they made that move for Tyson Chandler, it was the right move. And to get a guy of his caliber coming off the championship in Dallas, he really helped with the Knicks, and he had that great season where he was Defensive Player of the Year. But if you remember correctly, the Knicks used their trade exemption on him because they traded Chauncey Billups, and they used the trade exemption to get him. And so, or they traded for him, then they used the trade exemption on Chauncey Billups. Where now, think back in history, you can't rewrite history, but if they were to use that on Amari Stoudemire, what's that?
Chandler was a free agent.
Yes, but they ended up using, they brought him in, and then the sequence, they brought him in, and then he used the trade exemption on, the amnesty on Chauncey Billups.
Yes, yes.
And if they had used the amnesty on Amari, they'd be in a lot better situation. Maybe they could have gone after Chris Paul. Maybe they could have done some other things. Look, we won't know until 2015 and 2016 how Bill's plan falls into place. But, you know, it's just a shame to see a guy like Tyson Chandler, who I didn't see what the Knicks fans did. We were on the air, but I want to see if they booed him or they cheered him.
I'm sure they cheered him.
I don't know. They were saying that there was going to be a lot of boos in the Garden.
Really? I think Knicks fans are smarter and classier than that. And I think with the way we're struggling, I think they know that he was our best defensive player, one of our most nice guys, mature players. He was great with the fans. Yeah, he was a little ornery sometimes, but he was injured and, you know, whatever with Mike Woodson. But I think Tyson Chandler was a good Knick. And one that was respected. I really appreciated him because of the style that he plays. You know, he's an old school warrior. You wouldn't have said that the first 3-4 years in the league, ironically, but he's become that. And even in the West, though, Ray, you got to applaud what your boy's done. Kevin McHale, 18-5. I think the Rockets are one of the most surprising teams in the league, because they haven't been completely healthy, not having Howard. Harden missed a couple of games.
That's the part that's even more amazing. Is I thought that they'd be a top 4 or 5 team, and you didn't. You had them lower. But this without Dwight Howard, I mean, you got to give
Kevin
McHale credit, Daryl Morey credit, and you got to give James Harden his due.
And they're young guys. Dontonis Montiornis has developed. You're getting, you know, Beverly's been in and out, but he's been okay. But Tariq Black, the pickup from Summer League, has been great. You know, listen, you got to. You got to be very impressed with, you know, what they've done and how they've done it. But we have promised, and we got to talk about it. It's off season. It's been the hot stove. We got to finish strong and in the show with the little MLB. Now, just today, Joyce went from the Rays to the Angels in a trade. And then, you know, Alex Rios signs with the Royals and they lost Brett Butler. But give me an idea of what you feel or who you feel. You know, obviously it's not over yet. The Yankees and other teams still might make moves. But if you had to vote between, let's say, the Cubs, Red Sox, White Sox, and
Dodgers,
you know,
totally revamped.
And Dodgers, of those four teams, who's been most impressive with their moves? Because I think those four teams have kind of stood out the most. Red Sox, White Sox, Dodgers, and Cubs in the AL and NL. What would you say?
You know, I like what both Chicago teams did. I think bringing pitching to Chicago, so Lester going to Chicago, and then to the Cubs. Then Robertson going to the White Sox. And shoring up that pitch and the battery, and your kid Montero coming over from Chicago, going to Chicago from Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you can improve your battery and improve your starting pitching, you know, that's where it all begins, especially in the playoffs. I mean, look at what your boy Madison Bumgarner did. He basically won a pretty average Giants team a championship. So I like what both the White Sox and the Cubs did, and so baseball's back in Chicago, man. I like the Dodgers. I think it's too much change in some ways, right? You know, baseball, and much as it's an individual sport, there is this notion of chemistry, and you are with the guys 100%.
But it might be positive chemistry, because remember, some people said the locker room, like Hanley Ramirez, they said he was a bad teammate. So maybe it's addition by subtraction, and Kemp was injured and whatever, and you know, whatever. But I think they've brought in some good guys with the Dodgers.
I don't disagree with any of the moves that they made in LA. I just don't think that they're ready to win a championship. That's all I'm saying. I mean, they probably need a year or two to settle in together, because it's very rare that on your very first year of after making all those moves that you end up doing. I mean, Yankees did it kind of in 2009 with CC and Teixeira.
And they're still making moves. They're about to sign Brett Anderson. You know, the Astros, they're making some, you know, still some moves. I got to ask you this, though. The Yankees, $50 million for Chase Henley? I mean, really? You want to do
that? Well, I don't.
I thought we had A-Rod coming back. I don't know. I mean,
this
that's
guy. Well, A-Rod is funny. Cashman basically wrote off A-Rod today. He just said Cashman said A-Rod is now a DH, and basically we don't expect anything from him. So he lowered the bar to basically zero.
That's smart, and that's good. Also, Ray, did you see this? Jason Mott signed with the Cubs, so they got another player.
Yeah, another guy in the rotation. In the bullpen.
Throw some innings, yeah.
Yeah, eat up some innings. He was a pretty good reliever for the Cardinals 3-4 years ago. So Yankees also signed Chris Capuano for 1 year. I guess they didn't want to pay up for Brandon McCarthy, so they let him go, which is funny because Brandon
McCarthy signed somewhere last week, yeah.
Yeah, four years, $52 million. Brandon McCarthy was about to get cut in June. And then he comes to the Yankees, has a great second half, and now makes $13 million a year. Chase Headley, same thing, was on life support at San Diego. Comes to the Yankees, second half, has a great season, also makes $13 million, $14 million a year.
Do you like the Padres getting Kemp? Do you like that?
I do in all respects. He had to leave L.A. They wanted to get a real defensive-minded center fielder in, so that's good. He's had a great month of September where he drove in 25 runs, and he's probably back to being the Kemp that should have won the MVP when Ryan Braun won it. So I think San Diego's been starving ever since Adrian Gonzalez. They've been starving
they need an RBI
for an
guy,
offensive guy. Yeah, Chase Headley was good for 1 year, but ultimately they need a guy, and Kemp's that guy. And, you know, he's an L.A. guy, but San Diego's only 2 hours away, so he can still be L.A.
And the Orioles have lost a lot of talent, losing Markakis and losing Cruz. I don't know. They still have defense and pitching, and they're counting a lot on Machado, who doesn't stay healthy. I don't know if they're going to have enough offense to compete with the Red Sox and Blue Jays, to be honest with you. You know?
Yeah, that AL East looks like it's the Red Sox to lose. The Blue Jays have a bunch of talent. They always tend to underachieve somewhere during the season. But, yeah, the Orioles just went from the king of the hill to maybe not even making the playoffs next year.
It's going to be fun. And I'm happy for the Royals, even though they lost Brett Butler. To get Alex Rios, that's a legit bat. I think he batted like 280 last year. That's a good bat from the Rangers, who still's got some power. And you just got to root for these Royals and these Pirates, these teams, you know, that you hope they can't spend much, but they spend wisely, and you hope they stay around close to the top. So good show. We have some great callers, you know, talking football, fantasy. Troy Polamalu, wow, man, he body-blowed me. I don't think he knew that how big of a Steeler fan I am. But, Mike made a great point, and it's sad to say the aging veteran, when they lose a step, and we have to sort of laugh, right, because we just saw the aging veteran in Kobe just still being a great player and relentless, even though they got killed after that, losing to the Pacers by like a bunch of points. But, you know, it's hard to see Troy like this. It is. And I can say, honestly, he's lost a step and a half. You know, but my Steelers are going to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no Super Bowl, baby. There's no elegant way to gracefully get older, especially in football, especially on defense when you're a safety, when you're running around. And
it shows up.
It hurts. It hurts. Yeah. But you got to look back and remember all the good years that Polamalu gave you. Maybe you can eat, you know, a playoff run this year out of him.
Yeah, no, that'd be a nice way to go out. And, we haven't been in playoffs in a couple of years, so I think we need it. So, great show. It's going to be a great rest of the sports week. You know, we see some great games coming up. We'll see how this OKC team plays. I think maybe they're rocking on Thursday night. They play the Kings tonight. Oh, we didn't mention Malone getting fired. Do you think the Kings should hire George Karl? Kind of interesting, right?
So they were flirting with him, and the Kings were flirting with Chris Mullin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think George Karl, does he really need the stress of basketball? He's done enough. You know, let him worry about staying healthy, you know, doing his thing for ESPN. Just,
but he's a lifer.
You know,
he might want to come back. You never know. I could see, you know, what about Avery Johnson?
That guy needs to be a coach. I mean,
yeah,
he was born to be a coach. I don't know what happened in Dallas, but obviously something didn't work out in the end.
Well, and then in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and then in Brooklyn, obviously, yeah. But I'm
and then the Nets are talking about trading for Lance Stephenson. I can't believe Charlotte wants to trade Stephenson already. I guess they're not happy with him. His stats have been down. They the Nets send Kirilenko to the Sixers. So NBA's heating up. We'll be talking about it more. But Friday, we'll be back with some games on Saturday, Ray, for the NFL. Remember when they used to do that and they stopped it for a couple of years? But we got the Eagles, Redskins, and Chargers, Niners.
Oh,
so that'll be
back.
Fun. It's back,
baby.
Yeah,
we got
baby,
a full load to talk about on Friday.
Yeah, week 16. So Friday is going to be great, and then we'll even start some of the bowl games. Got
to
get
yeah,
ready to make
it. Yeah, good luck to everybody in their fantasy. You know, if you're playing now, it's fantasy championship. So good luck all you listeners out there who are in your fantasy championships.
Yeah, yeah. We got in our league, Ray and Tay. We got Mike playing against my buddy John. And then in real ball, we have the side. We got Sammy playing against who's he playing against?
Against Bombers, Mark.
Mark. Oh, wow. It's a good matchup. They both beat us pretty well. Good. Ray and Tay, we bowed out in real ball in the semifinals. So that was rough. See, and we should have
yeah,
a third
but
place game.
Yeah, I'd
rather
lose like that than lose.
Well, just make sure you said it, so we're playing each other
point.
This week, so I can smack you up in the third place game.
All right, I got
all
it.
Right.
It's set up.
All right, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays. Enjoy, and like always, thanks for joining us and talking sports with friends. Ray and Ted.
Great sports week.
Peace.